When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Every episode today. Even maybe more episodes than you, honestly.
You know, I think there is actually a decent chance of that. There was that one time
when
I was sick and you had to come in and record like an intro.
Where I just had to sit here and talk for an hour to myself about my thoughts.
Man, maybe that should be a special feature one day. It's like Jay and Ben both record episodes of the Pop
solo episode
separately.
That would be interesting. The solo episode, just me and my thoughts. Can I talk just out loud to nobody about anything for an hour? I feel like I probably could do it.
You think you could?
Because a lot of times, like in my, you know, I will, if I find myself alone in my house. Sometimes I'll just get like on a train of thought and I'll just sort of like start pacing around and I'll just like talk through whatever I'm thinking like out loud, and who knows how long it could take, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's like 10 minutes. Maybe it's like an hour. I don't know. Whatever.
No, I do know what you mean. Like there are occasions I feel like in life where I will enter like a mental flow state and I'm like, I feel like I've almost like ascended to like the astral plane of thinking. And it's sort of like, I am in, like my brain is firing on all cylinders. I understand everything about the world inside of this moment. No walls remain. I can think of all of it all at once. And then like you'll enter into a conversation with somebody and like all the little like walls come back up. And so that's probably like one of those things where you've got like the rules and guidelines of like society and social niceties and like the kind of relationship you have with another person and like known topics and shared interests. And so it's like you go and you like start having a conversation with another person and it's sort of like, okay, these are the avenues that I know work with this particular person or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then like when you're just completely alone and your brain is just allowed to like wander anywhere it wants to go, it's kind of like, okay. Now I'm like really going.
I know. Part of that exact reason is like I always want to do those like still water floats, like where you're just sort of like in the sensory deprivation tank.
Yes.
Like I think
yes.
You talked about it once where you're like, I'm trying to see around the future or something.
I know.
Like,
yes.
I so badly just want to just be in one of these things and just like see where my mind goes. You know?
Yeah.
What
does it work on? I know that's like a version of like, you know, like there's the standard things that you could be doing for your mental health every month, you know, which could be like going to like a session or something like that, or like self-care. And I feel like that would neatly fall almost into half therapy, half self-care. Cause
it's like,
it's very comfortable. It's very relaxing, but the entire sensation is like you go in, it's a completely noise-proof space. There is absolutely no sound whatsoever. The salinity in the water is so high that it's like the Dead Sea?
The Dead Sea.
You know, where it's like, it's just like you can go and like, if you like lay back, you don't go underwater. Like you don't have to be good at floating or anything like that. You will not sink.
Right.
And from there, it's just like the water temperature is even like, it's not like hot. So it's not like a hot tub type of like warmth. It's just supposed to
be your body temperature.
Yeah, exactly. But you are neither warm nor cold.
Right.
And that's even like a strange thing. So it's like, yeah, you talking about being like alone, that's like being alone and also feeling nothing.
Yes.
In your like, even like your spinal cord, I feel like is able to like
relax.
Yeah. Like sometimes I think about that where it's like, how often do you ever actually let your spine just like find its resting position?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel like sometimes I really should do it. Cause like, even like last night, sometimes I'll just be like, you know, like Luke will be down picking out a book or went downstairs to go find something. And I was just like laying on his bed last night. And I was just like, let me just lay here with my back completely flat. And it's like all of a sudden, like everything hurts. And I'm like, that's weird.
Why does everything hurt?
I feel like it should hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
just laying flat on a bed.
Well, I can't tell you the frequency at my house at which you can just find me laying on the hard floor. You know, like
good for your back.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's definitely like, I feel like when I'm like either stressed or tired or have had a long day, the way that I respond to it is by going home and just like, I'll be like in the middle of my kitchen floor, just laying on the ground.
Yeah. And so, Alice just like walks around you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not uncommon for her to just have like a full blown conversation or, you know, like if we're like doing something, you know, sometimes like if I've like made dinner or whatever, it's like, you know, it's like that post dinner thing. And so it's like, okay, like now maybe there's like some tidying happening or whatever. So I'm just like plopped.
It is almost impossible for me to exist on the floor of my house.
Yeah. Yes. Will your boys just come bombard
if I,
you?
If I was in a laying position on the ground, they would be on me in moments.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Without a doubt. Just like, wow, I'm jumping on you.
Right. Yeah. That's true. And I will say that Addie, to her credit, does a similar thing. She likes to come and stand right on like my abdomen and just jump.
Yeah, sure. It's like a trampoline.
It's like a trampoline.
Yeah.
Except it ends up being like a tremendous core workout.
Right. Yeah.
I always think about like those scenes from like Rocky where they're like hanging from the pull-up bar and you've got somebody else like boxing like their abs or whatever. And I'm like, this is basically that.
It's basically that. I'm basically Rocky.
Cue the montage music. All right, Jay, so I got to ask a question. And okay. I'm curious if it's the question you are getting like without fail every single day of your life at the moment.
Okay.
You are outside of your window for mustache life.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
And yet
the mustache persists.
It does persist. And so I'm very curious because over the past week, you were out of office last week, Thursday and Friday, because you and the fam were going down to a wedding.
A wedding for Beth's cousin. Yes. Nice.
Congrats to them.
Yes. You know? Yes. Congratulations. Yep. Guys. Great wedding. Good times.
Yeah. But that's like, you know, that's like a situation where, you know, I feel like when you go to weddings, it's like at least for me, I feel like I spend like a little bit more time getting ready. Like whenever you're getting like all suited up and, you know, you're going to a fancy event, you know, you like want to make sure everything's looking all great and everything.
Of course.
And so I was like, I'm so curious to know, like when it goes down there, like what type of like get ready prep will be involved? Because like this seems, you know, he's going to go and be around like a whole bunch of family members who have always known you without a mustache.
Truth.
And yet you went and you came back this morning. Even like we went to the gym this morning and I was like, I wonder if he's still going to have it.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, it has crossed my mind a couple of times. It's like, I feel like I'm in a zone now where it's like, I don't entirely know if I'm going to like, just like keep it and just be like, yes, I'm a mustache person.
Yeah.
Or if I'm like, just sort of like, I think where I'm at mostly is it took like, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks now to get to where I'm at. So it's like, if I shave it off, I can't get it back.
Of course.
You know, that's the thing. I think people are like, oh, are you going to keep it? Are you going to get rid of it? It's like, it's, you know, nothing's permanent either way. If I shave the entire thing off today, I would still have to shave again in 2 days, you know?
Sure.
Like, you know, it will grow back fairly, you know, relatively quickly. But like, sometimes I will look in the mirror and think like, I don't really know if I really like the way it looks. But like, I'm never reaching the point where I'm like, I don't like the way it looks enough to like postpone it by 8 weeks or something.
Yeah.
But at the same rate, especially because I think if I had enough of those days in a row, I would probably get there. But at the same rate, there'll be other days when I'm like, you know what? It looks pretty good today. It looks pretty good today.
Yeah.
You know, like some days I really like it and other days I'm a little like lukewarm on it. So, at the moment I'm still there, you know, I'm not sure if maybe it'll just be like a summer thing or something. It always kind of feels like, okay, there's like one more event and I'll just sort of wait until the end of that. Like we're going to the lake next week. It's like, I'll just probably wait until we're done with the lake, you know?
Yeah, may as well. Yeah, may as well.
You know, Tyler and Emily haven't seen me all that much here recently. Give them some chance to see it up close, you know?
Yeah. Bask in the awesomeness.
I wouldn't wanna, like, shave it off right before we see them.
Of course.
Crazy. I feel like, I think Beth is getting used to more like it, just like, I think she was out there. She was looking at old pictures Not old pictures. Pictures more than a month old.
Yeah, like, you know, like 60 days
like
ago.
Like 60 days ago. Yeah. She was like, oh, yeah, like I'm very used to it being on your face now. So I think she would adjust to it pretty quickly. But yeah, for the most part, it's pretty good. It's also getting to the point now where like the ends are like curling up a little bit.
I know.
Which is sort of like a fun little like, oh, that's a whole new aspect to it, you know?
I know. It's like, I do think like, it's like right now it's kind of like a fun experiment that's been like really cool to watch unfold. But then I also feel like if you go like 3 more months, it's like, because I can see what you're talking about. You got the little curly like bits and stuff.
Like, I don't know if I'm like, I definitely like, it's something like new on my face. So I feel like I touch it a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I'm just like making it curl or if it just like grows that way or anything, but either way the end result is the same, that it's sort of like curling at the ends a little bit.
I think there's some training that goes on with that, like, you know, you sort of like kind of like guide it in the direction you want it to go and it sort of like does mm-hmm. a little bit of that. Yeah. or maybe you've just got like a natural you know, the natural fit for it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm starting to look like when you see like bodybuilders from like the 40s or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You like, know, I'm like kind of, yeah. Like, yeah. You're like a trade fish to cuffs, old man. <you know? laughs>
Yes.
Exactly. I feel like that's sort of the look I'm getting sometimes. I'm like, all right. Yes. I should work out more. I don't know.
I know. Yeah. Look like those guys.
Look at these guys. Look, this is what I could look like. Oh, man.
I know. That's the dream. Mm-hmm. That's the dream. Yeah, everybody wants to look like
everyone
those guys.
Everyone wants to look like those guys. Right?
Most likely. Probably.
Exactly. Get one of those like pinstripe, like weightlifter unitard things. You know, we'll be off to the races.
Jay, the posters will sell themselves. People are like, how do I get one?
How do I get one?
I want in.
Want that.
Want mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah. Maybe this will be like our new end of year to decide who wins the One True Host for all of 2025. Maybe we both come out with 12-month calendars.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And there's a J calendar and a Ben calendar. Mm. And then we just see what happens.
We just see what happens. Yeah. Whatever sells more, you know?
Yeah.
That's just sort of it, you know? We'll just, you know, that determines the host for 2025.
Right. It's a friendly rivalry.
It's a friendly rivalry. Exactly.
It'll be great. What mm-hmm. could go wrong? Okay. Yeah. No.
But I do continue to get like mixed reactions though. Like some people at the wedding were just like, love the stash. And, you know, you can tell some people are very much just like, Jonathan's doing a thing. It's a new thing. It's polite to compliment him, you know? So like there's those people.
Sure.
You know,
okay,
and you're like, okay, yes, thank you. Think, you know, you wouldn't want to be like rude and be like, oh dude, what are you doing? That's a weird choice or anything.
There's no part of you that thinks that that's not just you deep in it. Like, well, like maybe it's like, maybe they do genuinely like it, but you're like, well, they're just being nice.
Well, I think there's both. I think there's some people who are like, whoa, I love it. And some people who are like digging the stash and it's just sort of like, I see you're doing that. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it feels like there's a difference. Maybe there's not. Maybe I'm in my head a little bit about it.
Yeah.
But then I ran into at least one teenager this weekend who I only see like 2 or 3 times a year. And she was very much just like, nope.
Get no.
It. Nope. Don't like it. Not good. And I was like, well, you know, okay, cool.
Well,
thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Can't please everyone.
Can't please everybody. You know, yeah. You'll get used to it. When people are like, it looks bad. I'm like, well, I'll show you.
No, it's so funny though, because I feel like I'm having the not that this is something I'm like regularly wrestling with, but there's a part of me that, like, you know, I grew out my beard once upon a time and I was so excited to like have it, and it was sort of like, okay, this is cool. Like now I've sort of got like some distinguishing characteristic about my face, you know, because I felt like for the longest time you always had like that, we call it like your pride rock hair.
Yeah,
like
the, right,
like
the swooshy hair.
The swooshy hair.
Yeah.
But I feel like without my beard, I'm sort of just generic guy.
Just generic guy?
Generic guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my, like, you know, if they were going to write like a comic book about me, it'd be like, generic guy.
Mm.
You know, like he looks like someone. Anyone.
He's a person.
Or kind of no one.
Right.
You know? And so I was like, okay, cool. Now I've got like this thing that kind of gives me like, you know, there's like a characteristic about how I appear, which is neat. But there, like every once in a while there is that temptation to just be like, I wonder what I look like without it.
Right.
It's been so long mm-hmm. since I haven't had it. So it's sort of like, okay, it would be kind of fun. Like, you know, especially in the vein of like, we went like snorkeling when we went on our cruise earlier this year.
Yeah.
And my mask, like for snorkeling, just simply will not seat on my face.
Right. Like it won't like seal.
It won't seal. Yeah.
So water in.
So yeah. So like, you know, I'm like out there and like, I really like snorkeling and, you know, would like love to scuba dive like with Addie as she gets older and stuff. And I'm like, it occurs to me that like I would need to change an aspect of my face, at least temporarily, you know, in order to go in and do that more successfully. Or I think some people are like, yeah, there's like some type of material or like a Vaseline or something you can like put on your face that like helps give it like a better seal or something. But I don't know, you know, it's kind of exactly like you're saying, where it's like you could go and be on vacation and be like, you know what, I'm just gonna get rid of it.
I'm gonna do it.
Give it like 40 days and we'll pretty much be back.
About
to where we are. It'll be fine.
Right.
It'll come back.
Well, that's the thing, is like you've never really shaved it off entirely at all. So like the regrow time, you're like maybe unaware of.
Also true.
You know,
also
like you just sort of like grew it back in 2015 and just sort of stuck to it. And like then it took you a long time.
Right.
But like now it might not. Cause like I also in like that November, like grew a mustache for a month. And let me tell you, it did not look the same as it looked after this past month of doing it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Your mustache game in the past 9 years has definitely taken some serious strides.
Yeah. There was a lot of dormant facial hair energy in my upper lip. And, you know, it turns out, it was there.
It was there.
You know, it's been growing the whole time. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
pretty exciting stuff. The other big one is that like so in terms of changing my physical appearance, you know, the other big debate would be like, I've contemplated doing something differently, like with my top head.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
To see if I would like
a mullet or something.
Yeah. Like a mullet.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I don't think I would go for the mullet. It surprises me a little bit that I feel like mullets are extremely popular with like teenagers.
Yeah.
And that a teenager also told you that they didn't like the mustache, because I would have assumed that the mullet and the mustache were like a 1-2 punch for like the go-to look for.
I suspect that that even could be the case, except that many a teenage male just can't grow mustaches yet.
I suppose
or
that's
not
true.
Like very, you know, aggressive ones.
Well, certainly us as teenagers couldn't have.
I was not in that. I would have fallen firmly in that camp of can't do it. Not which it's like to say we're sitting here being like mullet. I don't think so. Long shaggy hair. Pretty great.
I mean, we were cutting the sides away from having mullets, basically.
Exactly.
Like we had hair like, you know, at least halfway down our necks.
Yeah.
But no, so I've thought about doing the looks, and this is maybe like where I need the feedback, would be like to still keep it like really short on both sides around my head, but then like grow out the top and have it be like quite long and attempt like the man bun back there.
You could probably pull it off.
You think so?
I mean, at that point you're pretty close to mullet anyway.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
I will say that there was like a 10-year-old at the wedding. He had the mullet, and I would say he was pulling it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
like it looked good.
Like, I mean, yes, it looked like, you know, it wasn't like super long or anything, and it wasn't like super duper short on the sides or anything. It was sort of like grown out a little bit, but like, you know, on wedding day. He's up there. He was part of the wedding as well.
Okay.
And he's like standing up there, and it was like, you know, clearly been, you know, fixed up to look, you know, in its true form. And it was like, it does look good. You're doing it. You got it. Good job.
Way to go. Yeah.
Way to go, 10-year-old.
Maybe there's like some growth that is currently happening in the world of like, I wonder if there's any amount of, like, you know, as the internet becomes like widespread and all the rest, and like there's like a little bit more like homogenous nature to all of everyone everywhere. If like for a period of time it was like, okay, let's narrow in on like the most standard look, but then also it was like, okay, we've all looked the most standard forever, now let's start to like have some fun, and like that's the way the trends sort of like ebb and flow, so
I
to
feel
speak.
Like that's just always what's happening.
Do you think the next generation
is always like, what have you guys been doing? I don't, we're gonna do our own thing,
we're gonna do our yeah. Whatever's common, I don't, I'm not interested,
we're changing
in that.
Right on up. Yeah, what were they doing in the 90s? That looks pretty good, I guess.
Yeah. I know.
I will say, so another reaction I got this weekend, which there was, you know, you're right, you're running into some other people you don't see all the time. There were some ants out there. I was having to like meet stuff.
Not the insect, but like,
no, yeah, not like
aunts.
Yeah,
ants. Okay.
Out there.
Yeah.
And I've gotten the feeling before that they have not like typically viewed me as like, you know, particularly like manly or something.
Ah.
You know, not like in a very traditional sense or something.
Okay.
And it's always sort of been like, I'd like, thank you. I don't, I don't know what on earth you're talking about.
Wait, so they've expressed this sentiment to you?
Never so directly.
Okay.
Never so directly. It's just sort of one of those things you're just like, I don't know what I'm putting out, but you're not like, I don't know. This is the vibe I've gotten.
So would you say you feel as though people have misread you?
I constantly feel this way.
Oh, really?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. But in this particular, this has been like, I've gotten this energy from this section of people in the past.
Okay.
Where I'm just sort of like, what do you think I'm doing that's like not particularly manly enough for you or something? I don't know.
Like, am I not wielding axes?
Right. I'm not chopping down enough trees. Like, I know my job doesn't make sense to you. You know, I know that.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't know what else it is. If I just dress too differently, I don't know. But I could tell these aunts. They saw the mustache and were like, it was almost like a sigh of relief. It was like, finally something we can respect, you know? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm closer to shaving it now.
Yeah. It's like, you know what, I didn't have your approval before. Now that I have it, it turns out maybe it's not what I want.
Turns out I disagree. I don't know about you.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know.
That's interesting.
Like, what? I don't know. And then I'm like, I don't know what you're hoping for out of the male gender in general, but I don't know if we're in alignment here.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Yeah, I feel adequately masculine over here, so I don't really need your approval.
Right. You should see me in the gym.
Exactly. I don't know, like, what do you want me to be doing? I don't know. So that was a different reaction.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I feel like you had some other kind of like, and I have no idea whether or not these are connected, but I'm looking in our show notes and there are details. So this is like another one of those stretches where it's like, I haven't spent time with you for like 5 days.
For like 5 days. I know.
Highly unusual for the two of us.
It is. Yeah.
We're almost together all the time. So you have a row of items here that starts with the words Amos Mosquitoes.
Amos Mosquito.
and maybe it's just because I'm confusing ants with the insect of ants.
Yeah.
And also assuming that this came from this past weekend.
Yes.
And mosquitoes are in the vein of insects.
They are.
You know.
Sometimes they're in your veins. Yeah.
Wow.
Gross.
Excellent, excellent visual.
Thank you.
For us to all contemplate.
Everyone loves the visual of a mosquito sucking blood right out of your veins.
Yikes. Yikes. Good times.
Yes. So you want some explanation for this list of items here?
Yes. Well, in addition, because I feel like once upon a time you told me that you intentionally put things that are ambiguous into the show notes, and then I don't reference them because I don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
And there's whole stories behind them. And so I'm like, there must be a story behind Amos Mosquitoes.
Yeah. Do you want to read the whole list?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So we have Amos Mosquitoes, followed by Triple D, followed by Super Long Long to get in, followed by Huggers.
Okay, one of them's a typo, but yes.
Okay.
Supposed to be a super long line. So let me go ahead and,
okay,
and break down some things for you. So yes, one of the places we went over this past weekend while I was in Beaufort.
Beaufort.
Now I'm getting Southern on it, and I'm not trying to.
No, I like it.
Yeah. It's a restaurant called Amos Mosquitoes. Amos Mosquito. I don't know if there's an S on it or not.
Someone intentionally put the word mosquito in the name of their restaurant.
And like the whole time we were recommended to go there by some neighbors of ours who have been down to Beaufort before. And they're like, you've got to go to Amos Mosquitoes. It's like so good. It's our favorite place. But like this was like her telling Beth the name of the restaurant, which she could like sort of remember. So Beth's like, it's something like mosquito in the title. And I'm like,
well, it's something like, can it, only be the one.
I'm like, there's no way. It must be like mesquite or something, you know?
Yes.
Like like North Carolina, it's barbecue. Like it's gotta be that. No, it's Amos Mosquitoes.
Okay.
Like, and I'm like, maybe that's like a kind of fish. I don't know. You know, it's a beach town. It's the insect. Yeah. They just went straight for the insect. I don't know why. I don't know why they were like, yeah, let's put the insect in the title name. And not even because some insects I could understand, but mosquitoes are almost universally hated.
Yes.
You know,
indeed.
Even like so often people are like, well, if you got rid of spiders, all these other problems would happen. So the spiders are actually good. People, like if you talk to like environmentalists, it's like, well, what happened? What if you got rid of the mosquitoes? They'd be like, nothing. Just less malaria.
Yeah,
that's,
are mosquitoes not the number one most deadly animal on the planet?
Yes, yeah. They are stupid and terrible. But anyway,
tell us how you really feel.
You want a really ice cold take? Mosquitoes suck. Like, and I think that might be the most universally agreed upon thing ever.
Right. Yeah,
they're so annoying, and they just spread disease, and they bite you, and.
Okay, so I'm assuming this restaurant did not those things.
No, it did not those things. It's quite the opposite. Despite the weird naming choice, MS Mosquitoes is an awesome restaurant.
Okay, good to know.
Which has been featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, which is the Triple D.
Triple D!
Okay. Food Network show with Guy Fieri, whose name I'm positive I'm saying wrong.
Fieri?
I don't know. It feels like people know who I mean. You know who Guy is.
Fiery.
Fiery guy.
It seems like he has like flames in his branding a little bit.
There is. He often has like one of those like Hawaiian shirts with like the flames on or something. His hair kind of looks a little on fire or something. Yeah. Right? Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if people like or dislike. I think he looks like a fun guy.
I bet he is a fun guy.
I bet he's a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So now I'm following. So Amos Mosquitoes is a place featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Yes. There was a super long line.
There was a super long line to get in. Yes. And it was like, this was like one of those things where Beth's on a run with one of her friends who happens to have been to Beaufort, North Carolina. It's like, you got to go to Amos Mosquitoes. And we're like, you know, I was like, and it's like, it was like 20 minutes like away from where we were. So it was like a little bit of a drive considering there was also just a bunch of other like, you know, seaside restaurants pretty nearby.
Sure.
So it was like, okay. But like, you know, we got the recommendation, like, we'll go try it. She said it's like their favorite place. They go there all the time. They even had like, they like remember the menu, you know?
Okay.
I was like, all right, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's absolutely go there. And then, you know, as word spreads, it's suddenly like, oh, now the rest of like other chunks of the family want to go. And I'm like, oh boy, now I feel like there's a lot of weight resting on our decision to go to this recommended restaurant.
Right.
I don't want to let everyone down. I was like, I was happy to like for the five of us to go and experiment it based on this recommendation. Now I'm like, oh, now there's a lot of weight.
Yeah. Can we get a table for 17? No, we don't have a reservation.
Yeah. It was a table for 12 in the end.
Okay.
So fairly large, but and this is before I realized they'd been on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. But like Beth's looking it up and she's looking at the reviews and people are like, oh, we got there at like, you know, that opens at 4:30, but make sure you get there by like 4:15 to get in line or something. And it was like, what? So we're like basing our whole day around getting there. And sure enough, you get there and it like, I guess probably because it's been on the show.
Yeah.
You know, people like know about it and it's like a destination place and you know, the locals love it and the tourists love it. So it's like one of those places. But yeah, like we got there like at 4 o'clock and like there were already people like starting to mill around and stuff. I think we were like maybe sixth or seventh back in line. But like by the time it was 4:30, I mean, that line was like to the end of the parking lot.
It was long.
It was long line. I was like, oh my gosh. And like if you were or anywhere on the East Coast this past weekend, as of recording this, you will know that it was about 10 million degrees outside.
It was. I think right now that's the theme of the like the planet.
The planet.
It's hot.
It's hot. And we were at the beach standing in an asphalt parking lot and like I was like, gosh, like I don't, this better be good food.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you get inside and you're like, oh, it's been on the show. That's pretty cool. That's probably why there's a line. That makes sense.
It's all coming together.
I'm like looking around them, but it looks just like, you know, it's like a family looking restaurant. You know, it's not particularly crazy looking on the inside or anything. Yeah.
This is just a total aside, but like the small handful of restaurants that I've ever gone to that have been featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives does have this aspect to it to where it's like almost always like highly coveted, highly like, okay, like people know it's been on the show. Like they want to go, they want to have the experience. And I'm like, what did that show do for small restaurants the country over.
I mean, just nothing but good things.
Nothing but good things. It's like, it's such an unbelievable stamp of approval. Like, I have to imagine that, like, being on the show is like any small restaurant essentially like winning like a little like jackpot.
I mean, you know? Yeah, it really must be. And especially now, because they must have been to like over 1,000 places at this point.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's like in any one state, there's probably 10 restaurants at least that have been stamped.
That have been stamped with it. And so this was one of them, I guess. How many have you been to? I think I've been to 3.
I was going to say 3.
I think 3. Yeah, as well. What, which ones have you been to then?
The only one that immediately comes to mind is Comet Ping Pong. And then I also couldn't remember if Terry Black's in Austin, Texas was on there.
And then Smoke in Chicago.
And Smoke in Chicago. Yeah, so a lot of barbecue. A lot of barbecue.
Guy likes barbecue? What?
Yeah. What? Yeah. That's so surprising.
Okay. Maybe if Terry Black's is on there, then I've been to 4.
Okay. Yeah,
there we go. So, bam, answer. Including Amos Mosquitoes, but I got the half rack of ribs, really good.
What? Okay. Yeah. So there was a mesquite element.
There was a mesquite element. Part of me was like, I should probably get seafood because it's like a beach town.
Right.
But then like I mentioned, like I'm like, oh, I'm between the shrimp and grits and the ribs. And then Luke was like, ribs? I want ribs. And we, you know, and then we're like, well, ribs, it's not on the kids menu. And then you know, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get the ribs because then you can have one and it's fine. And I'm sure they're not going to be bad.
Oh yeah. No.
Which they weren't. But then he didn't even want any. And I was like, man, anyway,
could have had the shrimp and grits,
you know, could have gotten the seafood after all, which was, and then I was like, the whole time we're there, I'm like realizing it, and I'm like trying to like look on my phone, like what items were featured on the show, like what's it like known for. And like, it's like one of those situations where it's like, I would love to sit there and putz around on my phone, but also all 3 kids are going crazy and people are taking orders and people are asking me questions and it's like, it's lost. I'm not going to know.
It's over.
I'm not going to know what it was. And I think the shrimp and grits were featured. So whatever. Oh, well, the ribs were good.
Now we have to go back. I mean, you just describing it, it could just be that I'm super hungry.
Yeah.
But I'm like, wow, I'm interested in this place.
Yeah. Well, if you're in Beaufort, I mean, Beaufort, you know, check it out, but get there early. But so then we're also looking at the, they have like, you know, little gift shop area and stuff where you should get stuff.
Naturally.
And one of the things they had that we did get was a hugger. Do you know what a hugger is?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now I feel like I'm coming back to I feel like I'm figuring out your code.
Yeah.
So, okay. So when we grew up, I feel like these were everywhere in our house. I feel like we maybe had like a bucket or like a trash bag full of them or something somewhere in our house.
We had in the pantry in the house we grew up in, which you might have been able to walk into if you didn't have to, but that's where we kept the dog food, is right where your feet would go.
Yeah.
So you couldn't walk into it.
No. Yeah,
you could have, but you couldn't. But down on the bottom right-hand side, there was a shelf that was completely dedicated to Mom and Dad's collection of what they called huggers. You probably call koozies.
Yes. But like the hugger, I feel like versus the koozie, which I mean, they're probably realistically like essentially the same thing.
I mean, you're right. They serve the same purpose, which is to like keep your hand from touching the cold can.
Right.
Like the one we got says koozie on the side, but to me there is a distinct difference between a koozie and a hugger.
I feel like I would agree with you, because I feel like in the modern era, like koozies have become like a very, very, in probably huggers as well, but I'm sure it's why Mom and Dad had so many of them, big time promotional item, like very easy to apply a logo to, and I don't think they're very expensive to produce. But the ones that we had like when we were kids felt like they were made of like a thick foam, like, you know, like maybe like half inch thick or something, maybe not so it was like a beefy substance,
and it was in the shape of a cup.
Whereas like I feel like the modern koozie feels more like a
flimsy piece of cloth.
Like with like almost like a, like the interior has got like a mouse pad underside material or something. Like a corrugated rubber.
Yeah, but you can like the modern ones you can like fold up and like stick in your back pocket and they can lay flat. So if you were gonna have like a big collection of them like our parents did, like they're much more convenient and like compact and stuff.
Yeah.
But Luke in our house, during the NBA playoffs, which were like the last couple of weeks, which the Celtics won, by the way,
Ayo.
Not the playoffs, the whole championship, the whole shebang. It was awesome. But Like anytime there was a Celtics game at night, we would let Luke stay up and like watch it with us. And I think he watched like, you know, across five games, about 5 minutes of basketball or so.
Nice, nice.
But the rest of the time he was just so excited to be awake and hanging out with us and having some like one-on-one time. And part of this ritual was that we'd let him go pick out like a sparkling water or like a Fresca or something. And he would like come back and he'd be like, I have to go get my koozie. And he'd go find it and, you know, put it in there. And he loved every aspect of that.
The full experience.
The full experience.
Just properly leaning in.
Yes, properly leaning in. And so had a lot of fun with that. And I was like, oh my gosh, Luke, those are like hug. But so in the meantime, though, we also have at our house, we only have like two koozies. And then we have like a Yeti, like a metal koozie.
Yeah.
Like a rubber lid on top. So Luke wanted a different word for the metal one. And I think he came up with the exact perfect name for it, like Name of the Wind style.
Okay.
Okay. So here's what we have. You have one of the flimsy ones that you can fold up. That's a koozie. If you have the foam cup shaped ones.
Yep.
That's a hugger. If you have a metal one, that's a slugger.
A slugger.
A slugger.
I love it.
I know. I was like, that is the exact right name for this object.
Yes. It's almost like you cut the top off of like a baseball bat.
It's exactly like that.
Like a slugger.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that's what we're calling. Metal koozies, sluggers. But at Amos Mosquitoes, they have huggers. So the foam ones with like the big mosquito on the side and all their branding and whatever.
Nice,
like
nice. That.
But so Luke wanted to get one of those because he's all about the koozies and stuff or whatever now. And so we got him one. And last night after they were in bed, he had been using it ahead of time. But, you know, we went and got like a drink and Beth was like, I'm going to use the hugger. And like I was just holding it and it was like, this is such a superior product to the koozie.
Yeah.
In every single way. I was like, this is I don't know how someone got us off track here. This is better. It feels like you're holding something the whole time. I'm holding a koozie. I feel like I'm like about to drop something. You know, it's not the experience I want. I'm like, no, we will have no more koozies in my house. We're going full hugger.
You're going full hugger.
We're going full hugger. It's just a better product all around.
That is amazing.
I know.
That is amazing. Like, so mom and dad had it sorted.
I think so. I think they might even still have some.
Oh, man. Maybe
head over there.
Call them up. Yeah. I bet they'd be like, yes, please take them out of our house.
Please take them.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I will come over and look. If I bring Luke, we're going to walk out of there with like 50.
Can't
have that. But yeah, I was like, this is such a better product. So I was astounded too, because it's one of those things you think with time they'd get better, and someone decided that more minimalistic was better, but they were wrong.
I'm
here to tell you guys, huggers are better than koozies.
There you go
You heard it here
first. Strong opinion about a strong thing.
Yeah.
Wow, laying down the hammer.
You will feel like you will feel so much more like you're in command of that drink.
Yeah.
You're holding it. And it's like, you will feel zero cold. If you have a koozie, like, it's still kind of cold.
It's still a little bit, like, permeates.
Right,
yeah.
Like you're holding it, and it's not as cold, but, like, it's like you're aware that you have a cold drink in your hand.
Well, the hilarious, my hilarious, very brief anecdote about koozies is that once upon a time, I think Subway invited us out to, like, the Firefly Music Festival
in
Delaware.
Uh-huh.
And inside of, like, the marketing materials that we were provided for being, like, Subway ambassadors for the evening... Yeah. Were these like, they were almost like slap bracelets, but they were koozies. And so they're made of like, you know, that same mouse pad kind of foam, but they've got like almost like two slap bracelets going through the middle.
Yes.
And,
oh my gosh.
And like, if you fold it out, it like looks like a long Subway sub or whatever.
So it didn't have a bottom.
It doesn't have a bottom.
I see.
Yeah, at all. And that was like one of those things where I was like, well, we're instantly going to lose these, but we have somehow not.
You still have the slap sub koozie?
Dude, they have like traveled the country with Alice and I, like, and we never lose them, and we use them.
Wow.
Like, it's like, yeah, they live right there in the junk drawer. I know exactly where they are. We got three of them. They're okay.
They are
fine. but still, you know, it is really funny. Like, when me and Allie, like, we'll go and like sit on our screened in porch and same thing, you know, like have like a drink or something at the end of the day. It's like, we'll bust them out and be like, look at us. We're doing the thing.
Yeah. Dude, I don't even know what it is about koozies. And I was so happy about this because when people, like, I've been at like tailgates or like at parties and people have like brought their own, and it's like they cannot wait to just like whip the koozie out of their back pocket and be like, look what I got right here.
Yes.
And I'm like, you're barely solving a problem. Like, I don't know. Like, I never use them.
Ever.
I'm never like, oh, this drink is simply too cold. I could never.
What would your aunt say? Look at him over there with his koozie.
Probably.
Or is it a hugger?
Yeah. I've never I see people be so proud of their koozies and I'm like, I don't think that's the flex you think it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There are some that are quite delightful. Like I know a couple of my friends have them and they're like, based on the event, like they'll have like a ski, like it almost looks like a ski jacket, like, mm-hmm. like bright, you know, neon greens, yeah. yellows, yeah. pinks and stuff like that. And they'll like bust it out. So it looks like, a skiing jacket and they'll have like, you know, they'll drop their drink into it.
There's room for whimsy.
Yeah,
you know, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I love some whimsy to a beverage.
Absolutely.
But you're right. Like I do think that there are some people that like it's like a vital, essential part of the experience, which maybe is also leaning into it a little bit.
Maybe it is. But like, you know what? Like I just can't wait for the next time someone have a koozie and I'll be like, oh nice. How about this?
Boom.
Look at this. Yeah. Bulky, huge, manly hugger.
Yeah.
With a mustache.
With a I'm getting so much approval.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so story time. Since the day that I met my wife, Alice, she has been all about secondhand clothing. So 2 years ago, we decided to take that idea and run with it and open a business called Nude. It's like the past tense of new because it's not really old, but you know, nude. Old is the new nude. You get it. Anyway, we'd both been in business, but she was hung up on how to start selling online. But fortunately, I had experience with Shopify, and to tell you that we got started in no time is a straight up understatement. We were busy being brand new parents to a 6 month old, we both have other jobs, and within 2 weeks of idea conception, we had the website up and running. So if you're on the fence, whether it's in the like launch your online shop stage, do the first real store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Plus, even if you do have questions, Shopify's award-winning help is there to help support your success every step of the way. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is supported by Fiji Water. Okay, y'all, it is summer, and for me personally, that means it is finally the season to use the brand new boat, where, of course, hydration is key because it is super hot out there, and we will be doing that with Fiji Water because it really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through the volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as any other top two premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And gosh, soft. I love that descriptor because it is so exactly spot on. If you've ever drank Fiji Water, it is soft water to drink. And unlike some of the other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today for your next backyard party, hike, beach, pool, or lake day. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Okay, raise your hand if you were on your parents' phone plan and then grew up and eventually got that call letting you know it was time to leave the nest and secure your own, only to realize that wireless plans be expensive. Well, same, or if this has never happened to you, then spoilers, but Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online, meaning they don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. And let me tell you what, guys, we just finished our first ever tour and hit about 25% of the United States, and the service was perfect throughout the entire journey. And I'm saving like $240 per year compared to my old plan. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com. mintmobile.com/poppop. Cut your wireless plan to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/poppop.
Okay, so yeah. I want to move on from like the longest conversation about koozies that has happened on the internet, but I think it's kind of interesting because it was a strong opinion about a weak thing when it really boils down to it. And we got a hilarious piece of feedback from one Tigger Tiger 21 the other day that said the following, and I was like, I can't believe how on point this sentiment is, because like the strong opinions about weak things, I feel like almost in some way became like our mission statement for the pop.
Yeah.
Like it was sort of like, okay, these are things that don't really matter.
Don't really
it's
matter.
Like at the end of the day, the goal is to not, you know, truly like ever have a strong stance on anything that's like vitally, you know, like over the top or something. Cause we're usually just not qualified to discuss those topics ourselves. But this is what Tigger Tiger said. SCB started as a conversation between brothers, which was like the year-long conversation between brothers on Super Carlin Brothers, and became a conversation about pop culture, which was like sort of like our deviation into doing like fandom-related topics, Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Harry Potter, and Marvel. And then popcorn culture started as a conversation about pop culture and became a conversation between brothers.
It sure did.
It's like, it's like no matter what we do, we cannot execute our mission statements from day one into perpetuity.
Well, you say that, but like through the Gryffindor, that's exactly what we set out to do.
That's true.
Right?
There is less wiggle room when it comes to that particular.
This
that
show particular is about show. That.
Yes, this show is that. We know what it will be week in, week out, as will you, the viewer. I thought this was really interesting, and I also think it's interesting because we're like existing during like a great big lull. I think in the realm of the fandom pop culture phenomenon, which is kind of fascinating, because like arguably you could make the assertion that we're getting more content than ever before, like via streaming services and the like. But like the thing I always go back to, and like when we created popcorn culture, it was like the very end of 2019, which was arguably the climax of our fandom related topic news unfolding.
Yes.
And it was like we didn't know, like we didn't necessarily have like the right mechanism on Super Carlin Brothers to be discussing all of the stuff that was going on. But 2019, just as like a reminder to anybody who forgot, Disney had 10 different movies clear $1 billion at the box office,
which is like unbelievable when you think about the state of like movie theaters today.
In
1 year there was what? Endgame, there was Frozen 2, there was Toy Story 4,
Star Wars Episode 9.
Star Wars Episode 9, not at the movie theaters, but like Game of Thrones finale.
Yes.
Happened at the same time.
Yep.
There was another Spider-Man movie,
Captain Marvel.
There was Captain Marvel.
Yep.
There was, I mean, it was bananas. I think Detective Pikachu came out that year as well, just as like Pokemon entering the conversation.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So it was just sort of like, it was just like one thing right after another. I think we had also maybe just got Crimes of Grindelwald at the tail end of 2018, possibly for the Harry Potter stuff. It was just sort of like we're going through this whole year, and the big thing that's happening is like every single day, you know, we walk into the office and we're all just having these like big conversations about like what's going on, like what's next and what's the future gonna hold, and like this is unbelievable, and like oh my gosh, like nobody, like everybody was so dialed in to the same thing.
Yes.
And then like promptly into 2020, of course, the pandemic unfolded, which then sort of like sent its own like myriad of like issues shooting out into the world.
It's like domino effect, which, you know, lasted a while into the future there. Yeah.
Right. And so like, you know, and I think the Lion King was another one that came out during that
Aladdin
year.
Came out that year.
Live action. Yeah. Both of those.
Was Incredibles 2 that year?
No, that was 2018, I think.
Yeah. Maybe Aladdin was that year too.
I don't know. But anyway, so it's like, you know, there's just but it was also, it felt like everybody had recognized the like iron grip that nostalgia had on everybody all at once.
Yeah.
And it's like, not that like nostalgia is like going away. Like, I think nostalgia is something that like we will all feel in perpetuity all the time and always.
Yeah.
Like even, well, I won't go into that, but like, you know, it's curious though, as to whether or not like we almost like rang the victory bell on what was a huge era of nostalgia building, where there was like, you know, people were basically like not cashing in necessarily, but like everybody was so on the same beat.
Yeah.
You know, we had approximately 30 years going through like the Disney Renaissance in the early 90s, the launch of, you know, like Pokemon becoming popular, trading cards, yeah, all of that type of stuff, mm-hmm, the resurgence of the Star Wars, you know, prequels,
right,
came out during like, you know, the same era. And it was almost like, you know, Pixar was absolutely taking off, and just like what they were accomplishing, like on screen was, yes, just a feat unto itself, you know? So it just sort of seemed like everything was vibrating at a frequency that was like exactly, exactly perfect. But the big thing about 2019 that was so interesting is that so much of it was like conclusions.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, realistically, I mean, you could have argued Toy Story should have been over with Toy Story 3, but like then also would have thought Toy Story 4, probably it.
Yeah.
It sounds like
now
still
Toy Story 5.
Still Toy Story 5. But you know, it's like, you're talking about like a Frozen 2. You're talking about the end of the Star Wars Skywalker saga, like the end of the Game of Thrones saga. Like, you know, they were all big conclusions. And I feel like what's happened over the past several years is that everybody's like, yeah, nostalgia, that's the game. Like, that's where we need to be, like, you know, hitting all the stuff. And I can't tell if people have gotten burnt out on it.
Mm.
You know,
I mean, it's like, it is possible. It's hard to know if you can get like burnt out on nostalgia, because like, you can't help but feel it. It's just like, have you like, you know, just dipped into most of the nostalgia pools or,
yes,
something,
yeah,
you know? It's like, or it's like all the, like Marvel did a great job in Endgame, because it took 10 years to get to Endgame,
right?
So, you know, by the time you got to Endgame, you know, saying ending it with I am Iron Man was like epic, you know?
Yes,
that,
yeah,
hit nostalgia for everyone. You're like, oh my god, that was the best line anyone could have said right there.
Right.
And they were setting it up for it, and you're like, boy, that is 10 years of serious payoff, you know?
Right.
Like, enough time passed between the beginning of that story and the end for you to feel nostalgic about the beginning.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like last year, you know? It was a decade ago.
Right. But it's like finishing like a marathon.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's like you started the race, you like went through like all the, you know, like whatever, there's milestones along the way, you're feeling good, you're making it further, and like, you know, you finally get like that, like there's the finish line, this is the finishing shoot, the people are making noise, everything's exciting, you cross over, you're exhausted, but you're so happy, you're so proud, you got that runner's high, like,
yeah,
everything's amazing. And then it's like, whew, if I'm going to get this feeling again, I have to start.
Yeah, it's kind of like you have to
start at the starting line.
But like, it's like you have to start at the starting line. But at the same time, like, it, because it's still just coming out of Marvel, you kind of feel like, am I just sort of, you just want me to stick around right here at the front? Like, you know, it's not like, okay, here's the next brand new thing I've never seen that I'm ready to be excited about. It's like, no, I'm used to being super excited about Marvel, but like, now they kind of have to reset some, and I, you know, everything they made, I was so excited to go see. And now it's like, okay, this is the same characters, a lot of them, but the story has sort of reset, and everything isn't feeling nostalgic anymore because there isn't as much to go back to. And that's how I've become accustomed to enjoying these things. And it's like, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe when we get to 2031, you'll be like, oh my god, that was a throwback to WandaVision. That was amazing, you know?
Yeah. Maybe so. But it's like, that's where it's like, was there like a dilution that happened? Because I think what like at the end of the day, what a lot of people like, what I enjoy too, is like feeling like we're all together apart of something.
I know.
You know, it's, yeah, like there's something. It's like, maybe it means that we're all buying into the thing that is like the most mainstream, but it's like that's the wrong way to think about it, because it's like, I love it when like the whole world is collectively holding their breath waiting to know like what happens next.
I know. And it's like, I feel like you're right. In 2019, it seemed like it was like movies, just like, that was the thing, that those were like the touch points for like pop culture to be like, okay, yes, that's the next chapter. That's the thing we're looking at. And if we want to see it, we all have to go see it at the same time, because otherwise it'll get spoiled or I'll have to wait or whatever.
Right.
And it's
right.
like now it's like then COVID happened. So you had all the streaming sort of take over and people got used to that. And then you came out of that and you were like starting to recover. And then there was the writer strike for this, like,
yeah, the big SAG chunk after, of time. Yeah.
The SAG after strike. Kind of on the heels of that, and it's like, so they're like, I feel like even now, like, that whole industry is still recovering from COVID and from the SAG after strike, and it's like there hasn't been a good, like, foothold for a while.
Yes.
And in the meantime, like, there wasn't stuff coming out in theater. You couldn't go to theaters and people got used to seeing it at home, and it's like, that's great, it is more convenient and it's like more affordable and stuff, but like it does remove that, like, we're all seeing it together kind of thing. Because it's not like, oh yeah, if I don't watch The Acolyte on Tuesday, like, that's it, you know, it's gonna get spoiled for me. Because like everyone just kind of sees it in their own time, and some people are like, I just want the whole show to come out so I can binge it, or
yeah, everybody's kind of like a slightly different approach to how they agree with, like, release schedules and all the rest, and, right. and everybody's kind of doing it, like, a little bit differently.
Everyone's kind of doing it a little bit differently, and before you only had to commit like 2 hours or something, whereas like a lot of times now everything that comes out is like, you know, 8 to 10 hours, so it's like you really got to choose what you're going to get invested in.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
And, you know, whatever it is, you might still want to see whatever the latest Star Wars, you might want to watch Mandalorian, but it's like, but I wanted to watch this first, and then this first, and then this first, and it's like, okay, that's fine. And then you watch it 3 months later, so you still watched it, so you're still up to date, but it's not like, and I feel like that's sort of what happens, like, tons of people do still watch it, just not at the same time, so the hype is never huge.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the cross-pollination, that, like, water cooler conversation of, like, you know, you come in and everybody's sort of like, oh my god, I can't wait to hear what you thought, like,
yeah.
You know, especially in an office like ours where everybody here is all, you know, leaned into exactly the same kind of stuff.
Yes.
And it still does also feel like we're kind of like missing each other a little bit. But so my big curiosity right now is almost like whether or not, like, our appetite is like, if, like, whether or not we as an audience are like growing hungry again a little bit, where it's like,
dude,
like,
I think yes.
Okay.
And I think the proof, you can almost watch it, is the way people are maybe interacting with sports right now.
Okay.
Because sports are, like, almost immune to this. It's not like sports still follow the schedule.
Right.
If you don't watch, you know, the game tonight, then too bad.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, it's like no one's watching games days after the fact, because
sure.
You can just see it on ESPN, just look at the results or whatever. But like, and I could be wrong about this, could be my own personal bias, but it just seems like what I have noticed in the here recent with a lot of different people I know is that, like, I know, obviously, me personally, I just got, like, really into, like, the Celtics and basketball.
Yeah.
here recently. You have also sort of gotten into, like, Formula One here recently,
which has been, yeah. Alice and I watched the Netflix docuseries, like, Drive to Survive, and so we had this, like, huge back catalog
right.
that we just absolutely ate up. And yeah, so on Sundays we actually do, we tape the race because it plays in the morning, and then we will, like, come home after our day's worth of activities, and we got, like, Addie down for a nap or something, like, we'll, like, plop on the couch and, like, very intentionally watch it together.
Yeah. Even, like, Ethan here in office, like, this morning when he came in, I wasn't even like, how was your weekend? I was like, how was baseball this weekend?
Yeah.
You know, because he's on a softball team. I know he's watching a lot of baseball.
He's got season tickets.
And he's got season tickets to the local Salem Red Sox here. So it's like, in a way that maybe I'm just wrong, or maybe I've just been ignorant of it, but, like, I've always known, like, you know, me and you and Ethan, you know, like sports, and we'll talk about football or whatever is sort of like the headline or whatever, but it seems like all three of us have really suddenly leaned in heavy to something in a way that we haven't before.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is this, like, filling the void kind of, like, thing. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe, like, you know, as soon as you start following something on Instagram, it'll start pelting you with it forever. And it's like, oh, it's like, are people just really into the NBA finals this year? Is it, like, truly historic? Are tons of people watching? Or is it just like, no, you just like it, so we're going to make it feel that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's always difficult to kind of, like, step outside of your specific, like, bubble, because you are exactly right. You know, it's like, when like the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes came out, for example, like, I think that, like, we as an office had been, like, going through, like, a total, like, Hunger Games, Resurgence. We were all collectively like very excited about it. I feel like we were all being like fed a lot of like content about it. We were making a lot of content about it. And it felt like this, like, oh my gosh, like is Hunger Games like a big deal now? And I mean, on some level I do. I mean, it's a very powerful franchise and we're going to get more of it.
Yeah, there's another book and movie coming and
yeah. So I mean, there's no doubt about it that it's doing well, but that was like one of those where I was like the further we got from it, the more I was like, maybe we were just existing like a little bit, like bouncing around like noise inside of like a room that was reflecting it back on itself.
Yeah.
Which is not uncommon. So I mean, that is like the big question to like lob out to, you know, like the little kernels out there, sort of like where is your head at right now? Like, what are you the most bought into? And is it at all differing from like what it historically has been
there,
you know? Because almost certainly if you're listening to us, then you've been bought into fandoms historically.
Absolutely. And I do think you're right. Over the past year, you've seen like flash in the pan moments where it's like certain like big fandoms will get like a minor foothold for like a second. They'll like hold big public attention in a way that a lot of like even like Marvel isn't really doing it at the moment. Like I have a feeling one, they're about to with Deadpool and Wolverine.
I think that will
huge draw.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I would say in the past few years, they really haven't had it. Like they had WandaVision. And since then it's like, yeah, I keep up with the MCU, but it hasn't been like an all encompassing, like we got to go see it.
Right. You like, yeah. Cause I mean, there was a while, like, you know, I feel like now it's been like a hot second since we've made any Marvel content for Super Carlin Brothers. But going back to the end of 2018 to 2019, like in between Infinity War and Endgame, we almost became a Marvel channel. You know, it was like the only thing any of us ever thought about or talked about, and it seemed like all eyes were on this.
Yes, but like in just the past year, you've seen like the Hunger Games resurgence come up with like the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and that was like big for a second, and then it seemed like it sort of fizzled off again. And then like there was the Last Airbender like spike when they released it on the Netflix show. And it was like that came back for a little bit there, and it seems like that's sort of like, you know, I'm sure that'll come back again around season two time. And like even when like Bluey had their like big season three finale or whatever, that was like this big, like it seemed like suddenly like everyone knew about that episode,
right?
And like that got a lot of people talking. So it was like there are big fandoms that are getting like huge public attention and like holding like widespread notice for like a second.
Yes.
Like here and there.
Yeah.
For like a week or two at a time. Even like Inside Out 2 right now maybe is like broaching that a little bit.
Right. But, well, I mean, and that's one as well where it's like it's very exciting to see like, you know, like a Pixar movie come out and for the box office numbers to be better than like what they've been seeing recently.
Yeah.
And there, I think, you know, there's been like a big conversation from like the people at Pixar being like, you know, this one needs to work. Like it needs to go, because if it doesn't go, then like we might have to have like a real conversation about like what we're doing,
right?
You know, like what is our business model? And I think sometimes like this is kind of like what excites me a little bit is, you know, there's the need, of course, you know, and I think we're seeing it a little bit out of like Disney Animation Studios where we're getting like a Mufasa movie, which is like, it's kind of like, all right. Yeah, like, you know, it's sort of tapping that vein of like, you know, Lion King is almost like a surefire way to have something succeed, because it is like a very beloved franchise, and you know that will be a story that we haven't seen before. And like, oh, it's interesting that like Mufasa wasn't born into royalty. Like, what will that be like?
But
you know, and then what was the other one they've got coming out?
Moana.
Yeah, we got Moana 2, which is another one where it was like, it seemed like they were like, yeah, we're going to do a Moana live action. And then it was sort of like, well, that one's gone. But Moana did really, really well and people love it. And it's like a highly streamed movie on like Disney Plus. And it's like, all right, give people what they want. But
you know, like, what's weird is that like Moana and Inside Out kind of came out like at almost the same time. Right. Did they?
Maybe I think
Inside Out was a little earlier.
I think Inside Out was a little bit earlier. I'm trying to go back in my mind now and remember it. That was 2016.
2016, right?
Range. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. So maybe those were more side by side.
Which I only bring up because I feel like when people see Moana 2, they're like, Moana 2? That's interesting. But like, is it like kind of early or something?
But then like Inside Out 2
people are just like, yeah, okay, Inside Out 2.
Tell me more about how I think and feel about things because it's just good for everybody.
Inside Out 2 is so good.
Yeah. But like, so my big curiosity though is that like, yeah, so we're seeing kind of like a revisit of that 2019 formula where they're clearly going to the known hot properties and placing like items on the schedule. We got Toy Story 5 somewhere on the horizon. You know, it's like the stuff that's working, clearly they're going back to. But I'm also really curious whether or not they're going to the drawing board and like coming up with like very original new anything. You know, when it's more like the like 2026 releases, 2027, 2028, where we might just see like to where nostalgia can have the seeds planted again. You know, like if you could imagine a world where like the late 20s for Disney could potentially be similar to like what the early 90s were for Disney.
I know, like will you get to the point where you suddenly have like Luca 2 or Turning Red 2 or something?
Certainly, you know? That, yeah, like, you know, where you would go and revisit, or if like, you know, the way that we see properties like The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, The Lion King, you know, as these like fixtures to which they can now, like, now because it's been 20 plus years, you can harvest the nostalgia that you planted 20 years ago. It's like, will you get new starting points is I guess what I would be asserting, right? Like, is there a possibility that something as magnificent as those films, we might get new original stories completely to where 20 years, so more in like the 2040s, 2050s range, you would then harvest the nostalgia from those.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, based on like my own children's programming, it is interesting to see how like different like fandom franchises will like, are like handle like kids programming.
Okay.
Because like you can, you know, like two of the shows that my kids both like all really like, one is called Spidey and His Amazing Friends.
Okay.
Which is like the main three characters are Peter Parker Spider-Man, Miles Morales Spider-Man, and Gwen Stacy like Spider-Woman.
Okay.
And it is like, when I was growing up, I couldn't have told you who Miles Morales or Gwen Stacy were at all.
Sure.
But like, my kids are absolutely going to be able to tell you that.
Right.
And part of the show is also that like these three characters are interacting with their super friends, the Hulk and Miss Marvel and Ant-Man and the Wasp and Black Panther. And it's like, they watch it all the time and they are so familiar with that entire cast of Avengers already.
So you know? Someday there's going to be the world where they're going to be like, hang on. There's like, you know, now I'm a teenager. Now I can watch Black Panther.
Like, right, exactly. Like, one, it'll make those old movies good, but you can see a future too where it's just like, oh yeah, now they're making like new grown-up versions of those guys I watched when I was a kid.
Sure.
And then like there's also the other one they've recently started watching is called Batwheels.
Okay.
Which is a really weird combination here. It is basically, I mean, it's a Batman show. It's got Batman and Robin and Batgirl and whatever, and they're there. But the actual show was about their vehicles.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like all their vehicles have like come to life with like bat chips or whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, so you have the Batmobile, who's like the leader, and you know, you got like Robin's car and Batgirl's motorcycle, and then there's like just a, you know, a truck and a glider, because you know, you got to round out the team or whatever.
Naturally.
And of course all the villains have vehicles too, and they stole bat chips and now they're alive. So it's like, you're not fighting like the Joker, you're fighting like the Joker's car or whatever.
I see.
But typically the formula for the episodes or whatever is like Batman and Robin or Batgirl, they'll be off doing something, and while they're fighting the human villain, the cars will need to assist on the side in a way that, you know, ensures Batman. But the point is, you are very much being introduced to Batman and all of his rogues gallery.
Okay.
You know, at a young age. It's like, it's fun to interact with them as like cars and stuff, but clearly when you grow up, you'll be like, oh yeah, I know who Batman is, and I know who the Riddler and the Joker and Poison Ivy are.
And yeah, and the thing that this is like very curious about to me from like a very zoomed out perspective is ultimately going to be like, do these studios, and almost certainly they do have some strategy in mind, but like this is where like you're not talking about like, oh, what are we going to make next year? What are we going to make in a couple of years? This is more like, okay, we are laying the groundwork so that in 12 years, when these kids have gone from this age to that age, we can make this property, right? And it's going to destroy,
right?
So that's like long-term thinking.
Oh, yes. I mean, when, if they come out with a Spider-Gwen movie when, you know, all of our kids are like 14 or something, like it's going to destroy.
Yeah.
It's going to, because they're going to have been exposed to Spider-Verse Gwen. They're going to have been exposed to Spidey and His Amazing Friends Gwen.
Right.
And in the meantime, the entire adult population is also going to be like, well, yeah, I remember her from the cartoon one. Now we get to see her in real life. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So when are you dropping that, Marvel?
Come right. on.
You want to succeed or not?
How old is Luke?
Yeah.
Six? Eight more years?
Yeah, six. Come on. Yeah. All right, so,
the way? Yeah, here's the...
Calling it.
Right, yeah. Here's the prediction alert is that in June of 2032 is when we get the super good, super highly produced, like major mega franchise tentpole Gwen Stacy Spider-Woman.
Yeah. Spider-Gwen movie
saga.
Live action.
Yeah, that's yeah,
that's our prediction is that Marvel cashes in one of their extremely popular characters.
Let me plant my little stake there in June 2032.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to. Something Indeed. To have out on the horizon. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, the reason I thought it was fun, because I was like, you know, it's so interesting because this person left this comment, again going back to the comment from Tigger Tiger 21 about us not talking about pop culture as much and more conversation between brothers and our families and lives and all the trials and tribulations and stuff. But I was like, hilariously, I actually do have lots of thoughts right now on like the world of pop culture and like what's happening and like sort of just like, you know, being, I think, a little bit at the centerfold of it, you know, from like where we're sitting, like it's like that's a big part of like how our career works, how our structure works is you know, it's like the more that everybody is tuned into one thing, the more obvious it is for us like what the world might want. Whereas like right now, I feel like we could almost create like little pocket content, you know, for these people who want this and these people who want that and those people who want this, but it doesn't seem to be the same shared thing as it historically has been.
Right.
And so that's like what I'm curious about. It's like, is this the evolution of media as we know it? And people have more of the opportunity to be like, you know, like there's enough people who want specific things that there can be smaller, more niche projects that fit a very, very like focused group of potential viewers, or are we just sort of like in an interim where it's like we need to reset the board a little bit, we need to add like new players to it, we need to see something new and fresh that gets people like re-excited about that central narrative, you know. So it'll just be I'm excited for it because I feel like the potential energy is there and I feel like it's been building, and I personally feel like
it has been building for sure.
I think people want to bite on the next big thing.
They absolutely do. I think my big prediction is that like I'm sure like you can see Marvel doing this big time, and I think what they're really setting up for is like X-Men.
Okay.
Like I think like cuz one X-Men 97 hugely popular,
right?
Like almost universally beloved, and now immediately following that, they're coming out with Wolverine and Deadpool, just like bringing Hugh Jackman back after he like apparently retired from Wolverine.
Yeah,
and on top of that, Ryan Reynolds almost could not be more popular.
Yeah, the guy does seem to consistently hit his targets.
Oh my gosh, it's insane. So that movie right there, combined with X-Men 97, combined with all the setup they've been doing for the mutants with like Miss Marvel and the end of the Marvels, like even Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, like they brought Professor X in there, like they know what they're doing. They are setting you up, like they are going to bring back X-Men in like a huge different, like we did it right this time hopefully kind of way.
We did it right this time hopefully kind of way.
Which is honestly, it's like really cool. I hope that happens because like the X-Men themselves are like, they like them and Spider-Man like back in 2001 like launched the superhero genre we know today.
Sure. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. So I mean it does almost feel like X-Men got used rather early,
right?
And then you almost, that's another one where it's like it almost had to be parked for a long time before it could be like, we can't reboot X-Men again,
right?
You know, but now it's been long enough to where it's like, all right. We're about due course.
Which is not to say they haven't been making Wolverine and X-Men First Class movies this whole time.
Sure,
but like you know, a proper regular modern X-Men team with all the main characters like just in their prime, like they haven't done that in a while, and it's like they can do it again.
I think they're ready.
And you're right, it's like they needed to use like all the biggest names to get people interested initially. The problem was then you already use Spider-Man and you already use the X-Men before you figured anything out.
Exactly.
And now, same with Fantastic Four. Like, that was like Marvel. Like, you never know today that the Fantastic Four was like Marvel's biggest comic book seller ever.
Right.
You know, like, yes. To me, like, that's not their popular team. The Avengers are their popular team.
Right.
Who cares about the Fantastic Four?
Well, you know? And this, I could be speaking out of turn here, but I feel like once upon a time, somebody was explaining to me that, like, even when they launched, like, Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr., like, Iron Man wasn't necessarily like a major, like, but now you would say, like, who's probably the most popular two Marvel characters? And it would seem unlikely if you pulled 100 people, if you weren't going to commonly get Iron Man and Captain America.
I mean, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down.
They're the figureheads. They're the iconic. Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, you probably get some Spider-Mans in there too.
But certainly. Yeah.
Those are the big three. And it used to be like Spider-Man. End of sentence. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or so. Fantastic Four or X-Men. It's like they have made the Avengers.
Whoosh.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. So,
lots of stuff to be excited about, I think, is really what it comes down to, is that it's like, just be aware that, like, it's out there. It's biding its time. It will come.
It's coming.
Well, it will rain box office numbers again.
Dude. I mean, as soon as next week, Deadpool, Wolverine.
You calling it?
Dude. It's gonna be huge.
Do you think it will hit $1 billion?
Yes.
Oh,
I do.
Okay.
I do think
I'm
it
actually
will.
Inclined to agree with you.
I do think it will.
I think so.
I think it's going to be the most successful movie of the year.
Okay. All right.
Box office wise.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. We'll see. All right, guys. Well, as ever, be sure to send us all of your feedback over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Always love hearing your thoughts. Or if you want to go and check out us on Patreon, we do a little bonus action every single week. We got a teaser for after the final pop. We actually have two questions here,
and
I'm curious about them. So in this week on After the Final Pop, we will talk about both. What is your least favorite song? I'm curious to hear about this one.
Sure.
And also, I think this question comes from Isabel, the editor, who says, would you rather have the ability to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but yourself? So if you guys want to hear us get real real deep into that one, you can check it out at patreon.com/popcornculture. That's going to be at that $5 after the final pop tier. So link in all the show notes and description everywhere there. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.